Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Vasilis, our friend from the Utrecht Running Project.
Yeah, that you already know, actually, because we had him already with the TSP episode that we actually realized was actually 2 years ago, right? So it's crazy. Time flies. More than 2 years ago. Now, what was the discussion?
More than 2 years ago. I think two and a half years ago.
Because it was 2020 in July that we got to know each other. Yeah. We just checked and in September we had the race.
The race in September, yeah.
And probably October, the podcast.
Yeah,
November.
Probably something like that. Yeah. Exactly.
It's almost two and a half.
Yeah. And here we are back again and to talk more about running and especially trail running, long distance running and other things eventually. Because your particularity is that you run long distance running amongst other things as well. And this is why we thought it was interesting to talk to you as well today and to discover a little bit more. Why would you do this? And it's just understanding also a little bit more about the preparation maybe that you do before those races, the races that you have done. And also, where did it all start? Maybe you can start with that.
Okay.
Did I miss something?
Well, no. Yeah, I would only maybe throw in that ultra running basically means any distance longer than a marathon, so more than 42 kilometers. And I checked the standard distances are 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, 100 miles, which is then 160 kilometers and 50 miles. I forgot, which is
82.
Yeah, 80.5 kilometers. Mm. And so like anyone that was not familiar, but this is basically your jam. And now I basically, how did it ever come?
Good question.
You said like you're basically do this for 12 years, right?
Yeah, I started to run 2012.
In general or with ultra?
In general.
In general, okay.
Yes, I did my first half marathon.
Yeah.
But as we said also in the past, how I did this, just someone said, let's go to run. There is night half marathon in our city. I said, why not? Let's try. I couldn't walk 2 days after when I did.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't quit.
Yeah.
But after step by step, I mean, you say, okay, let's do this. You found something interesting. I live in a mountain. Next to the mountain in Greece, and there are a lot of competitions there. I said, okay, let's go. I went. I suffered a lot.
Yeah.
The first one. But I still liked.
Yeah. What is it then that you like? Because the first half marathon, again, like I think it's completely crazy that you just think like, oh yeah, let's do that. Then you can't walk for 2 days. And still you think like, that was fun. Let me do that again.
Yeah, but all the thought behind this, it's like, I did with 1.5 month preparation. And before, I never ran.
Exactly, yeah.
If I do not good training,
yeah,
what can I do?
Yeah.
And that's why, but this is more about me. A lot of people, if they cannot walk 2 days after, probably they will quit.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's try. Let's training by program and let's set some goals.
Yeah.
And let's do it.
Yeah.
And after it was much easier.
Yeah.
All the time. I had one trainer to give me program and it was much easier because I didn't have, you don't have to think. You say, Monday, I do this. Mm-hmm. And you go on. And the distance came every time after. You do half marathon, you say, okay, let's try a marathon. After mountain, 20, let's go for 40. How many things can go wrong?
Yeah.
A lot probably.
I was thinking the same. Probably a lot of things.
But after the marathon, I did 80. But the good thing is, for me, and really positive and really good to motivate me more, I did a lot of things with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about the experience and all the you take with your father to do this and also to help you because he has the experience. To help me when I couldn't walk during, you're ready to quit, you're sleeping during the night and you go like as a zombie, he's there.
Yeah.
And this happened with 100 miles first time. I was sleeping and I still walked And it, he was there just to wake me up.
Yeah.
But it's nice to do with someone can help you.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
Your father was already a runner before you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My father is like now almost 65.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he do activities and running from 18, 20 years old. Not competitions. Competitions he started to do late
mm-hmm.
when friends, they said to him, okay, you are running, go to run also official competitions. And but he did before me a lot. I support him a lot of times before by car in ultra distance. And I was in the side, I said, okay, why they do this? Even for 20K, when I went to see him to finish, I was for coffee in one place close to the finish line. I said, why? Why these people suffer? It's raining. Why they don't drink a coffee with us here? why they are outside wet with all this situation? And after a few years, I just started to do, and I do more crazy things than him.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So it's kind of like it was always in your family. Like you saw it with him. You did question it in the beginning, but then.
Yeah, I had this.
After your first.
Around me, but mm-hmm. I never thought to do it because my father do it. Mm-hmm. I started from other people.
Yeah.
And after my father did help me a lot to continue and to try also.
I see. For the longer distances, then
for the longer distance, like it's nice to have the experience you did with your father, like 40 hours competition, you're together. We had a lot of people to say, oh my God, I wish I can do this with my kids or with my father.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing experience. It's one of the best experience I ever had with my life, and I can do it again.
Yeah. Because is he then, are you running the races together, or is he now the one that is supporting you? Like,
look, if you compare age and power, mm-hmm. when I started to run, he had to help me to weight me a few times. Now, if we do short distance, for sure I'm faster. But for the long distance, it's not about speed.
But what
it's is about experience.
And the long distance starts then where for you?
Where you mean? The
from what point onwards do you consider being a long distance?
After the marathon, then I did one time the marathon.
Yeah.
2015, I think. The Olympus marathon. Yeah. After the next summer or the same summer. I don't remember. I found one nice place with 80 kilometers.
Okay.
That's and I jumped from 40 to 80.
Yeah. So 40, would you consider already being a long distance? Or it starts from there and then...
I think
very subjective, but I'm
think
interested.
It was like a, for sure, because from the mountains completely different from 20 kilometers in the mountains to go to 40. It's also a really big, yep. big change. 44 exactly. It was the distance. And yeah, it was already long. It's 7, 8 hours.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like almost double from a road marathon.
Yeah,
it's long. And yeah.
Yeah, because I read a little bit up about ultra distance races before this podcast. So there are basically two types of ultra races. You have the distance-based one that I mentioned before, but you also have certain races that are time-based. So you get like a certain time frame, and then whatever runner carries out the longest distance in this time frame is basically then the winner. And like... usual time periods are then 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. And then there's a big jump, 3 days, 6 days, and 10 days, which by itself is just pure madness. But we mentioned that you are so far only the distance races, but you are curious to also try the time.
Yes, because the... This with a time frame,
mm-hmm.
it's more road running. It's more flat.
Oh, I see.
They do a lot of times in circuits, and you need to. This is something different. I mean, for me at least. I mean, to do like a ultra in road running, it's more difficult than trail running, because you need to mentally you need to be stronger, because you go with the same move, your body, and if you are in a circuit, imagine 400 meters, you need to do this, count how many rounds.
No, thank you.
Mentally, you need to be really strong. That's why I'm not trying. If I try something like this, I will try for 6-12 hours, not direct to 1 or 2 days or anything. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's the trail running, you have changes, all the view.
The technical part of the roof.
Technical part, your mind, you need to think all the time because you're not flat and you can go like as blind, like I ran. I know it's flat, rounds, I don't need to think, but for the mountain, you need to think.
Yeah.
Up and down, different terrain, maybe wet, maybe rocks. You need your mind, you need to, needs to be there.
But this is the crazy part for me, like, because it is technically so difficult, like your mind needs to be there. But if it goes on for 8 hours or like for 100K, maybe even like full day, how can you like mentally be there all the time? Like,
you cannot be there all the time. You try.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people, they stop for more rest. They prefer, also I prefer to be during the night with other people. I try to match my pace with other people and to go together to end the night. And maybe the next day you can just speed up or go slower or anything. Because to be alone, like for 10 hours, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because it's the sleepy time.
Yeah.
Think also your body automatic goes to the, I need to sleep now. And if you are alone, can be also danger. That's why you need to be really strong and to be sure about your power. And that's why I said before about the experience. The old runners, they, if you see like the age, the average of the age, they go for ultra, it's older people, older. Not,
yeah.
Not to 20, 25. You need the experience, because the young runners, they just, they start, they go fast, 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 and after no energy. If you know you have 30 hours, 40 hours to be outside alone, you need to keep your energy. You cannot go as a 5K, bam,
distance, who will
finish
speed
in 20, 25 minutes, 15 minutes, they finish. It's different experience. You can see even 70 years old people to finish 100 miles. And you say, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it... like with regular street races that I'm so far only familiar with, of course, when people get tired, they walk a little bit, people might stop as well. But so how is it with ultra runs? Do you you take breaks, you sleep, or it depends?
A lot of people, they sleep, but power nap.
20 minutes or shorter?
20, 30, how everyone feels. Until now, I never slept during a competition. I just do a break, I eat, I will take my rest and I will continue.
You only fall asleep while running?
Yes.
This, which also, this happened. I'm sorry. That's also like insane. How, like, so your feet are continuing moving, but you're basically here asleep.
Yeah.
But are your eyes open?
I don't remember. I couldn't. I
okay,
think
of course,
I just, I had like the voice. That moment I had the voice of my father just to speak to me all the time, just random things, just to keep me awake. Because it's really hard. When you do this first time and it's like 2 long nights, it's crazy.
So is that a trick to talk to yourself? Like you talk to yourself out loud, or you meant
my father spoke to me.
Oh,
random stuff.
Okay, just but to he keep was there with you.
He was there.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
That's why I did the first 100 miles with him to be with someone. Because it was like, not I cannot do it. I couldn't try alone, but it was also better.
It was a good experience, and also for safety, it's just better.
Yeah.
Because again, so you're falling asleep while running and by being on a damn mountain where you have to actually watch your step. It's crazy. So, but what was the longest time and distance that you were on your feet that you ran so far?
170, 40 hours.
40 hours? Oh, that's 40 hours.
It's a week work. I'd rather be outside doing a trail run than working, but it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit more about the 40 hours race? Like, also, is it then, do you have to take your stuff with you? Like nutrition, for example, because it's not only sleep that you need, but you need also food. Like you're constantly moving. You need to fuel your body. How does this work?
Every competition, you have the planning before to start. You know the stops. Every 20, every 30 kilometers, depends with the mountain and the organization. And you do your plan. You live also in one or in two spots at the rock back with extra stuff. And you know when you get what, because you do the planning of your bags. And the food you take every time from every station. And when you have your bag, you take, let's say the next stop with food, it's in 20K, you plan your food for 20K. You don't keep food for 100K, only if the next stop is in 100K. Will never happen this. I mean, the longest I had, it's 30K gap between stops because it was in a really long area and they couldn't put any stop official also from the, by the law sometimes mm-hmm. in a few places they cannot
they are
go.
Protected, yeah.
Yes, it's protected areas and they can just be only the runners to run and no more things. Or they cannot reach the place. Sometimes it's, so outside, no streets. They need also for them to walk 15K to go water there.
Yeah. They have, it's not, they yeah. would have to carry everything that they want to provide to the runners. They have to actually bring there. Yeah.
Yeah. We have one guy. He's, for me, it's the best organizer for a trail, ultra, also short distance in the mountains in Greece. And we saw him sometimes to carry like 30 kilos of water every time to walk. To leave it in a spot during the distance, just for the people to have water, extra water.
Yeah.
It's, wow. It's the only way.
Yeah. Nice workout.
Yeah.
What a commitment. Like, on how can I also imagine it? So you said on average, they are a little bit older people that are starting with the ultra races. But the number, like the, is it big groups probably depending on the race, like on the popularity of the race, how many people are attending? This
depends with the country. I mean, if you check small competitions, you have from 50 people until 150 or 200.
Yeah.
If you go to UTMB in Alps, you have 1,000. And they don't go all because there is a lottery.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
So you go to the starting line and you don't know until then if you are going to race?
No. The lottery is before. The lottery is before.
You show up and they tell you, you go home and you actually have to go down the mountain by yourself.
No, you know, from months ago, I think UTMB starts from December. You send your, you do your application. It's with points. It's one new different system with if you need to run some other competition, it works like CV.
Yeah.
You need to run some competitions like other distance. And after you collect your points, your stones now, I think they did. But after still you wait.
Yeah.
You cannot take access.
There. Like Boston Marathon or like any of this, yeah. But then.
Kind of, yeah. And it's thousands of people. If you see how many people, if you see like a video, people to start there.
Yeah.
They start with four or five waves. I don't know how many. And it's thousands of people.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And it's mountain.
Yeah.
There it's 1,000. In other places are like 100, 150.
What is your, did you ever did such a 1,000 people race? Like such a big one?
1,000, I think in Spain, we had like with 800 in Ultra Pirineo, 100K. Because there, I think was the biggest I did with people.
Do you like this or do you prefer the smaller races?
No, I like also this one because after 5-10K, the people split. I mean, the faster runners, they go in front, the slowest. I mean, we didn't have any traffic. The problem is when you have a lot of people and you start and the path is so narrow, you need to start, not even to walk. You need to wait because people, they need to go
mm-hmm.
Further.
Yeah, then I would even only think that the smaller races are more attractive. I nearly was about to ask you if... because it seems such a crazy thing to do if it's like such a small community that when you go to different races that you see similar faces. But apparently it's bigger than I expected.
It's much bigger for sure.
But do you meet sometimes like the same crazy people at different places?
In Greece, for sure. When we go in different places, for sure we meet and people we met in other races, like friends or anything. But also I met people from as far I do these races. I met Greek people also, imagine, in other countries. Or we met somewhere and after I met them again in other places. But I wish I would meet also other people I met also in Norway, in Switzerland last year, because we speak with these people. And I hope we will match somewhere again to be in the same competition.
Talking about Greek, I said, like, I did some reading before and I had a look at what the records are. And I saw that they are basically with the male. They are basically two guys that hold most of the records. And one of them is being a Greek guy. Yannis Kouros.
Yeah.
And the other one is Alexander Sorokin from
Slovenia.
LTU is the shortening. That would then be
Lithuania.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like they are basically, let me count, like, so there are 11 officially recognized distances. So you have, what I said, the 50K, 50 miles, 100K. And then also some timed ones, and they have 10 of them, which is so like these are the badass ultra runners.
The Greek guy lost the 24 hours, I think, 1 year ago. He did the.
Yep. Now it's Alexander Sorokin, which is on that. There was 24 hours, and these 24 hours he did a 309 kilometers. That's halfway to my parents from here. That's halfway to your parents, Kevin.
No, it's insane.
It's not only insane in the meaning of time, it's also so insane in the meaning of speed. But these are then, of course, what you mentioned, the street races, the flat races. Yeah.
Flat, but also with, I mean, because they go in street, like normal roads, the cars they go. Mm-hmm. Because when they do one really long distance, they cannot be in all flat. There is some altitude also, but road running, no paths.
Yeah.
They don't go off-road.
Yeah.
It's like on streets, but still is insane.
So, but is it then something that is more popular in Greece? Or is it just pure coincidence that this Yannis Kouros?
I think there are less ultra road running competitions. There are a few. But I think if you compare with the mountains, with the trail, I think it's less. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe because I follow more trail running event. But we have also a really big event. This guy, Kouros, did the 250 from Athens to Sparta. Spartathlon, it's really famous. And the guy is crazy. I mean, when he finished, I think the first time he went there, they didn't expect him to be so fast and they lost him. He arrived there and no one waited him because they expect someone to go later.
Yeah.
The guy, there is one documentary about this guy. It's like 30, 40 minutes and it's insane. They try to take his training like from other countries to, because they didn't believe how he can do it.
Yeah.
And no, you cannot copy one person like this because this is the talent. This is something you have it. Do whatever you want as a training. No, you cannot do this. I think. I mean, it's like also personality.
Yeah. I think ultra running is a lot of personality, a lot of mental strength to tell yourself, keep on going, keep on going. Because training for a half marathon or a marathon, you're basically, there are millions of training plans available in the internet that you can just do. And then there are like some interval trainings and there are some long distance trainings and you follow it and then basically you can do it. But how do you prepare for an ultra race? Because
mentally, as I say all the time, mentally you need to be prepared. If you lose the mental part, you don't have anything.
But how do you prepare the mental part?
to be on the in on the treadmill for 2 hours and don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Or every competition, you learn more.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like that's because you also you didn't start with an 100-kilometer race. You started with 20. You did 40. Then you did 20 the first times in the mountains, you say, which of course takes longer. Mm. So yeah, basically seeing yourself like that you're able to do it is then a confidence for the next time that that you can do it again.
Yeah, you said it's sometimes for me, I'm really competitive with myself also to set new goals and say, okay, I did 40. Why not do 80 or try something? But the mountains is also different because if you go to do 80 in this place and 80 in the other place, it's completely different. It's not like to do marathons in 5 cities. You just see different buildings and more or less it's flat. It's the same. You just move in a new city. But the mountains, every time it's different. This is also the nice. That's why you can do a lot of times 100 miles, 100K in different places or 80 or 40. And it's something you cannot compare. Ah, I did 20 hours there. I will go to do in this 100 less. Maybe you do 30 there. I did also 100 in Greece, 22 hours. And in Switzerland last year, 30. It was so difficult because it's the...
It's a different mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. The terrain, everything.
Yeah.
This is the nice
part.
At the end, when you finish
challenging part.
And you remember.
But then how do you actually prepare for that, for the mental part? Because I'm thinking about Jake Catterall that was on the podcast as well and that we followed as well on the side. And he did a lot of either ultra running experiences or just crazy challenges that he does.
Cycling also.
Yeah, cycling in Iceland, things like that. So, and he's very, very transparent in the way that he shows the struggle as well as he goes through. And for me, it was interesting to see those ups and downs when you can go up and you're like, okay, I'm mentally super strong. I'm feeling good. My body's great. I'm going to achieve it. I'm going to manage. Very positive. And after a while, something happens either in the environment, maybe the weather's bad, something like that, or in your head or in your body as well. And something turns and you're like suddenly into the pit. You're down, you have to look up and you're like, I'm never going to finish. I'm in pain. I'm going to have to quit. So this fluctuation between up and down, which is something you experience after you do it, like after a couple of races, mm-hmm. you understand how it works. And I wonder how you personally actually go up from those downs, basically when you feel like, or if you ever go that as down as meaning, oh, maybe I'm going to just drop and I can't feel like I can do it anymore. And how do you bounce back up? How do you prepare for that in advance? And how do you deal with that in the race?
Okay. This is something you need to work not only with your training. I mean, let's say my normal day, I go to work 8 hours or 10 or sometimes 12. And after, I go to the gym. I will not say, when I do this, I feel like I'm in a good mental level because I'm really tired from 12 hours at work or 10. And after I will go 1.5 hour in the gym to do something like to run, to work out or step master or anything. This is one big part because you need to, the ultra mentality, you need to follow it also during your daily life. I cannot say I'm tired today. Let's keep it. Because if I do this, I will do it also when I run. I will say really easy, let's quit. This up and down, sometimes I feel really tired, I will go to the gym. Mentally tired. I need to press. I need to be there. I need to finish. And every time when I do it, when I finish the gym, I'm better.
Mentally better.
Yes. From before. It was really close to say, let's go home. I go to the gym and after I can feel the step up of the mental part. Mm-hmm.
That you pushed the laziness away.
Yes. And I know I can do because it's mentally you think I cannot do it.
Yeah. It's your brain telling you, no, just skip this one.
Think also when you do a competition and you feel really tired, And every time the last meters, the last kilometer, it's every time it's you're faster. Why? You can do it.
Because you know
you don't
there.
Believe it. Yeah. If you see the end, that's why the competitions I split in my mind in
sections.
Yeah.
Yes. I never look the end. Let's say I have the stops, as I told you, by the competition, and I know, okay, let's go there. Next. Let's eat. Let's change. Let's refresh. Next. One problem per time. If you go at the end, you put like five problems the same moment in your head. You need to go one by one.
Interesting.
For me, it works like this. Also, the marathon. I say, okay, let's do 10, 20, half, 30, and 40, and after done. I cannot look like 1K, 39, 30, like 41 more. No, it's too far. No. You need to split it. It's like 5 by 5, 10 by 10, depends. For me, it works really good.
Actually, Jake mentioned that as well. He was saying that he also does this segmentation of the process. Then that helps him go reach the goal and then be like, okay, I've done this. It's a win. Move on to the next one. And then, yeah, I think it's a good approach as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting then also to hear how you are training in your daily life and that it is part of basically of your lifestyle. It's not only the races that you do, but also outside the races.
That makes sense, yeah.
Kevin did mention, however, if you should or if you are getting in like, you have this mental voice telling yourself, oh, I have a little pain. I don't know if I can do this. How did you get yourself back up again? Is there one trick that you think like, I have to continue, I have to go on, that helps you to get there?
This is the tricky part, to listen to your body. Because sometimes you need to understand the pain you have. If it's pain from the extra training or it's something you need to care more. Let's say when I had the coach, we had the program and I text with him and said, okay, today I don't feel I can follow the planning, all we do. He told me, yes, because you need to feel your body. If I say to you, do 30K today and you do it, but you had the pain and after you need to stay out for 2 weeks, no one can say to you, how do you feel? You need to listen like really carefully your body. Your pain, go start to run. If you are still cold and you have pain, or if it's warm and if it's warm your body and you have pain, you need to stop because it's even worse. But you are the only one can listen the voices from your body, from muscles, from anything. As far like 12 years, imagine I'd never had like big injury from training. I had big injury like from downhill because I stepped wrong, but this is something completely different. But for now, I don't know if I'm just lucky or I listen good my body. Yeah, I don't know.
You did mention that, as said, ultra running is more done by experienced runners. And that then also makes sense that because you are more experienced to listening, to knowing when do you're really in pain and when do you just have to push through. But still extremely impressive that you have never been also injured. So you're like, that means really you can listen quite well and...
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope it's this part. But yeah, it's something you need to do it.
Yeah, because there was last year one race that you were listened to your body and your body said, okay, no, I have to stop now. Like, was it then there that you felt like an injury approaching or you felt like this is not safe anymore? What was there as a different situation? Because it was, you said, the first time, right?
In
12 years.
Yeah, from the 100 miles, 160 something, I did the 120 and after I stopped. It was a combination. Also, mentally, I was not so strong. And also, my body didn't react really good with the terrain. I mean, I didn't know how is in the Scandinavia, the terrain, it was really wet, really soft. We had all the time really wet feet and I couldn't step on my feet. So I had a lot of problems and a lot of pain. If I was mentally better, maybe I had the power to to stop, to fix a few problems and to continue to walk and to go further, to, at least to try. But I was not there. But this, I think it's also something make you stronger. To sometimes you quit. If you realize why, next time maybe you are stronger.
Yeah, I get that. Do you then plan to tackle that specific race again until you finish it?
For sure.
For sure.
For sure I will go again. When I left from there, I said maybe no, but no, I will go for sure again back there. I don't know when.
Now that the pain is away, you think about it positively again. Yeah.
I will go again. I will finish this. It's like
a unfinished project. Yeah.
It became personal. And now I know.
Revenge. Yeah. Well, that's good. It was also motivation.
Beautiful place. And for sure, I would like to be a finisher there.
Nice. Yeah. But to come back, because you mentioned that you listen to your body, right? Now I understand that. But when you're in those moments where you feel like nothing is going well or something is going wrong and you feel like maybe you want to cancel or abandon up me, you listen to your body, yes, but do you do something else to push you back up to like, or are you always in a good state? Which I doubt, but if you are down, do you do something else than listening to your body? Do you tell yourself something? Do you think about something?
Nice question. Okay. Yeah. Look, I do also a lot of times, my imagination works like really different also on the treadmill when I'm there and I'm like 1 hour and it's indoor. It's not nice to run indoor, but sometimes I need to do. The best moment for run competition is when you finish. And a lot of times I put in my mind this moment. I'm there. I'm finishing. This all these emotions you have when you finish every distance. More ultra.
Yeah. Not, the longer, the
not,
better.
Yeah. I'm not... In my imagination, it's like the 5K. Okay, it's still nice, but I mean, it's not completely different. But when you finish 100 miles, or I remember the moments I finished and... This give me like, okay, it's not the moment to quit, go further, but still with
segments.
Yes. Yeah. Small steps. But these moments, they give me like a really good power to think, press more for sure. If I don't feel pain,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I don't have other problems, but, it's the thing, give me a really good push to continue. Yeah.
Is this the only trick that you have? I mean, do you only think about that and you repeat this in your mind, or you have something else coming in?
I think this is the top one.
That works for you.
No. Yeah. Or if I have someone to wait, I mean, because I don't go with support all the time. I mean, when I had my parents in Spain and I had really bad moments, like I started really bad the competition and I was thinking maybe it's not my day to quit, but I knew it. They wait me like in the next stop, also gave me like a really good
pep talk.
Yeah. But this one, it's not every time, because a lot of times I travel alone. I mean, you cannot have someone every time when you go somewhere like to wait you.
How is it with other runners on the way? Since it's such an extreme challenge, do you then also pick up each other up on the way and be like, come on, don't quit now?
Yeah. It's insane. We have the same problems, but also in the marathon, you have the same problem, but no one look for someone next if there is any to help. But no, we stop. We ask if they need food and water, to walk with them, if to go to the next stop, to press more. No, it's insane. Also, the really good runners, like elite runners or the slow runners, how we can call them, but we're all one. You can just continue. I met like one guy, I don't remember, crazy guy. He did the crossing Switzerland from Monday or Saturday till Wednesday, 390K. And I start my 110 Friday. He did also the 110, 500 in total. And I spoke with him. This guy mentally, I think it's too strong because he couldn't walk at one point. And he said, no, I will finish. I said I will do 500 games Switzerland. This is my project. And I will do.
Wow.
It was insane. And he finished like a few, 1 or 2 hours after me. And he did also 390 before me.
Before that, yeah.
No, it's insane. It's insane. Like
the mental strength that you're building there, but also the, yeah, the bonding that you have there. With
but people. This guy, we said before for the sleep, like I left him like in one stop to sleep for 30 minutes because I said, no, I cannot continue like this. He took a power nap and he continued and he finished. I mean, yeah, some people are really strong, but also this one you build up after years and...
you have to.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, besides when you are the Greek guy. So like there is certain talent, but definitely a lot of buildup.
Yeah. No one can do at once like five. Let's this guy, he didn't start to do let's do 500 trail running at once. No. Probably yeah. He started also to build up the distance and everything.
You did mention that you couldn't walk for after your first half marathon. Of course, you were not prepared well enough when you did it. And now you do prepare for your ultra races. But do you have any precautions afterwards? Like, do you feel like pain, tiredness, like you sleep then first for probably 16 hours or something like this, 10 hours, like because you have to catch up on the sleep, your body just needs to recover. How does the recovering process look like now?
No, the recovering process, it's the same like the daily life because I can never sleep like more than 7-8 hours also after because you need to wake up, you need to move your body. The body recovers more with move. Mm-hmm. You cannot stay like 2 days on the couch.
That would be so bad.
Believe me.
You don't move at all.
You don't move at all and yeah. You cannot even go to the toilet. Yeah. I mean, if you need to walk, the movement... Blood it's also flow. When you have an injury, yep. The doctor says you need to move, you need to do exercises. It's the same thing also with the recovering week. I don't know. I mean, now also after 100 miles, I have some normal pain, but the difference is with the ultra, you don't press really hard because you have a lot of hours in front of you. You are never like... in a speed or anything so fast. It's lower speed for a long time. It's not the same for the first runners. They do the same distance in 20 hours and we do in 40.
Yeah, sure.
Check the speed. Eh? It's like double. And that's why the muscles are, I never had so much pain after. Other problems, yes, like if, with the body, with the terrain, like with the rocks or anything, but muscle pain, like 1 or 2 days normal. And after I can start to jog again after like to recover. Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, I saw that you have also 2 races coming up this year.
Yes.
That you're registered for. The first one is in April. So basically next month.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Which is it? What is it?
I'm really excited for this. It's in Madeira in Portugal. It's such a beautiful island. I have also a recommendation from a friend. He did, I think, 2-3 times already. And 115, really technical. I think it's really difficult. And
what do you mean really by technical?
Some spots also to climb, a lot of rocks, really narrow terrain, a lot up and down.
Like climbing.
Sometimes also to climb like
yeah, not a climbing. Full vertical,
yes,
but like you have
a few spots you need to also to go really technical and imagine also when you have this on a downhill.
All right.
If you need to go up with the 4, mm-hmm. You need to go also down from the other side.
It's less fun.
Yeah. But it's also interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. And as far as I saw, it's a really beautiful place.
And the season is also going to be a little bit better in 4 weeks, especially in Portugal. So hopefully not too cold, not too hot also. Because
not
then it's
too hot, not too cold, but this island, when I saw like videos from other years, can be also really easy to have a lot of rain there.
Okay.
It's really in the middle of Atlantic Sea. It's not like the weather, it's stable, like about the warm. It's not really cold or too warm. It's nice and stable, but you can have also a lot of rain there. And let's hope not the days we will run.
Yeah, I hope so for you as well. Do you then take also change of clothing and shoes with you for a different terrain, maybe different shoes or like...
Yes.
How is that?
Every time I have 2-3 pair of shoes with me, I use one and probably I will change one in the middle. Not only if it's raining or anything, it's just... I start with a hard... the harder shoes, yeah. And at the end... My feet are tired and I prefer to use the softer, like to give to more pleasure to my feet, like something
to relax. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
But then also, of course, I can imagine it's then again, also like a mental boost because you're like, okay, only until there, then like it's a small thing, but then you are changing at least something of your environment again.
Yeah.
So it's not the, yeah, you're changing something.
There are some stops. It's really... like a hostel. I mean, you have water to take a shower if you like, and you wash your feet, your legs, everything. You change clothes, and after you feel like
a fresh person,
kind of restart.
Yeah.
You start to run again, and you feel much better. You're still tired, but the feeling of new clothes and shoes, it's really important. Yeah.
What kind of shoes do you use actually? Is it specific trail shoes?
Yeah.
Or like road shoes that we would use here or?
It's trail shoes, but for ultra distance.
Okay.
There are specific shoes. I mean, there are trail running shoes for short distance and also for long distance. They protect a bit more. There are also those categories, there are also in the road running shoes.
All right.
If you do ultra road running, there are... shoes with more protection. If you see the 5-10K fast shoes they sell, it's like really light, no protection because you run from fast runners 15 until 30 minutes. You don't need a lot of protection. No. Also, you need the shoe to be light.
Yeah. And the terrain is usually, road, so it's pretty safe. But
there are a lot of different categories of shoes for when the terrain is so stiff and with the rocks, there are with more protection.
More protection
there are some with less protection and softer. But also this is something what people they prefer to use. You can see like in one same competition, people to use so many different shoes. It's about preference and how you feel nice to run on this terrain. Some people, they prefer light shoes.
So you plan this in advance with your shoes or you just take the same ones every time for those trail running like paths? No,
I think I have like the same shoes until to complete like the kilometers and to take them out to don't use them. But I use quite similar shoes all the time.
Okay.
Because if you find something to fit on you, it's not for me. I like to use it for the competition because I know the brand, I know the materials and everything. It works good for me. I change sometimes shoes, but I need to test them before. I never take like a new pair of shoes.
Don't do that.
Imagine. And then you're like 50 kilometers out.
I would take a new one if I had before. If I buy the same model
from
one
time.
Brand, second time or third time, I can use it. I can trust this shoe to use it, but not new brand, new model. No, this is a big mistake.
Rookie mistake,
Yeah. Because you can have a really bad result. I mean,
oh, definitely, And it's too late, then you're wearing them, so.
And you need to wait to go in the, you need your stop with your bag to take the other shoes, but this can be 80 kilometers away.
Yeah, too late maybe. And then you're already
maybe too late,
And especially with running where you're basically every step you're on these damn shoes.
Yeah, you need to live with this. It's
exactly.
not a t-shirt you say, okay, I can be a few hours with the t-shirt.
Exactly.
Shoes. Even clothes, we don't take new one. I mean, we use everything we used before.
Yep. No, I think it makes sense.
Everything, everything. I mean, it's like, I think all the runners, they do.
Yeah, no as one, runners, we know that.
Yeah.
As I would say experienced runners. But it's the rule. Like you don't take a new piece of clothing or item, food, shoes, whatever.
Food also.
Food competition. Food as well.
You don't try anything. Ah, there is something new here.
For the first time, yeah.
No. Yeah.
You don't touch anything you'd never tasted before.
No.
You know, banana, Coca-Cola, everything you tested with your stomach.
Yeah.
You know how to react.
Really, or you try something crazy with food and you have a good story to tell.
Maybe.
And how you shit your pants during, you know. Talking about food, what is the craziest food that you take with you? Is there like something crazy like, oh, for example, you like to have, I don't know, randomly a piece of pizza in the middle of, I don't know, if there's something like this that you take with, or it's only something very specifically healthy?
No, food... We take, I think all, and includes me, we take things we can move, they can move in a bag, like energy bars, dry stuff. We never take something cooked as a food because all this we have in the stops, rice, pasta, soups. I mean, the big competitions, they have soup, meat maybe, and you can eat proper food in the stops. You don't need to move in your backpack. Can be a disaster.
Yeah, imagine a pizza. No.
So nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. No. Nothing crazy. Maybe from one stop to the other, if there is something nice and we can just, I have all the time like the zip bags. Mm-hmm. Also to throw away the packages of the energy bar. I put it there to give it to the next station. And I will put a sandwich or something in this to eat later before the next stop, but something like this.
Okay.
Anything else, it's too risky to put in your bag.
Yeah. Okay. You keep the good stuff.
Soup.
Yeah. I guess people do.
I don't know. Imagine I saw people to put cola in the bottles.
Yeah.
And think what happened when you run.
Yeah.
And shakes. Poof. I saw to explode for someone. In front of me to explode the flask, the bottle, because it was a cola, started to.
Yeah. Oh, in the backpack, camelback.
No. It's a really bad idea.
And then
you drink cola in the stop,
yeah.
You take in a small cup, you drink, and that's it.
Or you get the gas out before, and then you put it into your container.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's the best thing to run on sugar all the time during the race.
No.
Because then you crush and yeah. Okay.
But so take me through it. If you were saying like you are already in Madeira, you are on the starting line of 115 kilometers. So probably the first stop is then out in 40, 50 kilometers. What do you literally have on you until the first stop? Beside your shoes and your clothing, obviously.
Okay. Let's say we start with the outfit. We start to run and I have every time in my backpack one extra outfit. Aluminium blanket, some medical things, if you need to wrap something, if you hit
blisters,
somewhere, blisters,
yeah,
like
disinfection.
Yes, small things. The phone, for sure.
Okay, that was also
emergency.
A thing was-
if something happened, you need to have together the emergency number from the competition and to call someone, not only for music or pleasure. GPS, for sure. The watch, really important. And food, energy bars, gels, something it's small, easy to move it, and with a lot of calories. Because you need also everything to be really compact. You cannot take something, it's big. You need to take really heavy calories. Food includes like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends with the distance. You think I need this, this, and this for 1 hour. I need one gel. Every 2 hours, you take this because you know how many, more or less how many hours you do to arrive to the next stop, to a replacement for the like salt stick.
Yep.
I use a lot because you need one or two pills every hour.
Yep.
But this is also something you can see with people you run around you and you do the same thing. How many different things people do during the races? Different things they eat. A lot of people, they just boil potatoes. with a lot of salt. They don't take salt stick. They take the salt with different way.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just missing the cheese and then you can do a raclette. It's nice.
No, you can see different things after years. People like have the experience for themselves, like what they eat or...
Yeah. And then probably also like a power bank or something to charge up your phone or your watch.
Yes, more the watch, because the phones we have in flight mode and they can survive for days. I mean, without internet and search for... You open it when you need to check if there is connection to call someone. We never have...
You're not on your phone otherwise.
Yeah. And but more for the watches, yes. If we go more than 25, it depends with your which watch do you have. Battery after the new one, they can be okay for 40, 50 hours. I'll say mine, it's for 20 something. 30 maximum, depends. I need to charge. But this is also you can put in your drop bag. You can collect later.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you then listen to music or is it like total silence, you, yourself, your thoughts?
Depends. I start without music and I check the moments if I'm alone and I don't have someone to speak next to me and to chat during the race. During the night, if I'm alone, I will put music. It's also the moment. How do you feel? But I think the night it's the worst. If you're alone, if I am alone, I need some music.
Yeah. Some stimulation to... Yeah. Yeah.
Also from going. I use only from one side music.
So you can still hear.
Because it's nice to have also the contact with anything can happen around you. If someone call you also, because you can see some a runner is coming and someone needs help. You need to be connected with
the environment.
With sense. Everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes we pass streets.
Yeah.
We're not every time in a path. Also, you need to be careful about cars, about animals. I mean, it can be everything in nature.
Yeah. What is the scariest that ever happened? Because like I would actually, thinking about being at night, so I understand that you put music during the night for keeping you sharp, keeping you entertained, especially since there's visually like less like distraction happening. But I would instantly was thinking of security, animals or anything out there. Like what has there ever been like a security issue? And it doesn't need to be have animals. It could also be like you were talking about doing a race where you have to go up and down a hill on all 4 foot or like on all fours, which I think is also quite scary for me to do.
You said about animal. The worst thing, not to me, but to someone, it was before me in the race, hit by wild pig. Yes. Because the wild pig cross the path.
Surprise.
Yeah.
That's
These are, they go hard. Those pigs. Yeah.
Believe
me,
it was really hard. The guy, at the end it was good, but imagine he fell
on
in a river.
Wow.
He went outside of the path in a river and they found him from the flashlight.
Whoa.
They saw him and they went down and some of the people, they stayed with him during the night because it was the access. It was really difficult for the rescue team to go there and they had to wait until to be day again. And they took him out. He broke a lot. He was okay, at least. He went to the hospital, but he didn't have any problem after. But yeah, it was crazy. This was the worst, but can happen.
And it was a race that you also attended.
Yeah.
I see.
We saw the guy when we passed from there and it was around 11, 12 o'clock at the night. And we saw what happened. They told us it was people to help him and we left because also it was not point to stay a lot of people there. But yeah, it was insane. At the start was they thought he fell. But after...
You heard it was a piggy.
They realized... Also, when they saw the signs from everything and when probably he spoke, he was able to speak to someone.
Yeah.
He said, what happened?
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
Oh, because the guy was completely unconscious.
I think the first moments, yes. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was insane. Really crazy. When we heard about this, we said, oh.
Lucky it was not you.
We never thought something like this can happen.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Wild pigs. Okay.
Yeah, but it was before us there. They lived there.
I guess, yeah, that could also have been dinner if you can catch one and make fire. Maybe not. No. Okay.
And there's another, a second race also coming up in June or July.
July.
And it's 100 miles.
Yes.
That's again the big one that you did not hit so far, 160K.
Yeah, this is, will be the
different location.
Fourth time for third finish. I wish.
that you are planning to, the fourth time that you were with, so say again, I'm sorry, I don't
it's
get it.
It's the fourth time I will start the 100 miles.
Yes.
And I wish will be the third time I will finish.
I see.
Because I quit one time and...
yeah. Okay, so you did the 100 miles. I thought you never finished actually 100
two times,
miles before.
Two times. In, the second time it was this with the wild pig situation with the other guy. Yeah. No, it was this two times in Greece.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. So is then the 100 miles the longest distance that you went so far?
Mm.
I see. Well, I'm extremely curious to hear and to see and to experience what's going to be next after that. Because now you did it two times. You still have to do the one in Norway at one point.
Yes, I don't know when, but maybe this one can be in a few years. I'm thinking to do, if I feel okay, October, the same I finished two times. I'm thinking if I participate again October in Greece. Because also it's the tricky part. If you finish five times there, you're five times finisher.
Yeah.
You go in the list, you get like a special medal. You're five times finisher. You go in a list
of special people.
Yeah. And in the future, I would like to finish five times there for sure. But maybe if I feel strong after July, because it's long distance there, maybe I will join also.
Yeah.
But this I will check later.
Because I am curious. 100 miles, it is crazy long. But do you think you would go longer than that? Is there any aspiration for? Yes. Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Okay. There was one other crazy race. When you just arrived here today, you said like, there's this one crazy race we need to talk about. And I said like, no, let's not talk about this now. Let's talk in the podcast. Tell me now.
Yeah, this is the Barclay Marathon. It's like insane because you don't pay. They need for sure to accept you there. And it's like a really small amount of people they start. And this year they finished like three. They had three finishers.
How many people did start? Five?
No, more. But this is not, I think 20, yeah. 20 something. And the last finisher, it was 2017, I think.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, the years between, no one finished.
Because it's technically so difficult.
You don't have, I think they don't have GPS. You need to collect pages from a book as a checkpoint. It's five loops.
See.
And this year, I think it was the first year, a woman joined the fourth loop, I think, started. It was a really good year for them. It's like, and you, when you participate there, the fee you need to pay, it's $1. Your label from the car, the numbers. And some, every year they ask something like socks, t-shirts. It's not about like money. This is about crazy people there.
No.
And the starting line, the guy, he do this, he start a cigarette.
And that's the starting
point.
This is
the start, but you don't know when. You need to look at him. You don't know it's 9 o'clock and it's like the gun. 9 o'clock, we start the marathon. Let's go. No, he's there. When he feel ready, if he start the cigarette, you start to run.
But it's called marathon, but it's not a marathon.
No, I don't know. It's Barclays Marathon, but I don't know. For sure it's not a marathon. It's like five marathons, four or five. It's like 100 miles, I think, in total and five loops.
And the loops are always the same or are different loops, five different loops?
I think it's different. It's not this. If it was the same, it was easier to finish also.
Exactly.
It's not the same. But I like also, I have like the big image of this race and I would like also to check more details.
Yeah.
Because I'm really curious for more details about these people and their organization and how they do. Probably they change also every year, I think, the loops, because a lot of people, they try to go again and again. And if you go again and again, you know the route.
Yep.
It's easier to remember. Because a lot of people, they try for years to finish. But
yeah,
this is something really
interesting,
insane.
It's, yeah, I think I have to read up more about this to completely understand the concept. But it sounds like a riddle and an ultramarathon combined.
It's crazy.
Crazy. Any other bucket list races that you still have on your list?
Bucket list. Not specific races. But as I said before, I'd like to go to South America or to US in general, to pass the Atlantic, to do races there. But not something specific.
Right?
I'd like to do nice trips there, to go there, probably also in Asia. Cape Town. I would like to do it in the future. It's November, I think. Mm-hmm. 100 miles. It's a really beautiful name. Also, we have a few people in the group. They are from Cape Town.
Correct, yeah.
And they suggest also as a nice trip to combine with...
of the ultra.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Because you plan about like 2 races per year? Because I can imagine that you cannot like... do crazy amount of 3 or what?
Between 3 and 4. But every time I plan 2 until the half of the year, like now my planning is until July, I will check the situation, how I feel, if there is any injury or anything. And after I will continue to plan the rest of the year.
I see.
This more for the big distance. I mean... 5, 10, 21, and marathon we do here.
Yeah.
In our place. I book last moment also with a feeling.
Exactly. No, that was not what I was referring to. I was thinking the big races.
Yeah. But the big race, they go by season.
Yeah.
Like big season, like 6 months. I plan in advance. Yeah.
Then next time we have you on the podcast, we want to hear about the Barclay Marathon.
This will be like maybe never in 20 years. I wish I can go there.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. That would be really fun.
Just to make one loop and to quit.
That would be quite a story too. Yeah, quite an experience as well.
But yeah, I think all the ultra trail runners, they would love to go there. But yeah, it's not easy.
Sounds a little bit like TSP actually. A bit like this crazy concept out of nowhere that somebody just came up with
Although
TSP is simpler. But.
And also you cannot take access if they don't accept you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If you like to pay to go there, you cannot.
No.
They need to accept you.
Yeah. That makes it even more...
exclusive.
Exclusive and you want to do it.
Mm.
Nice.
Love cool. it. Thank you so much for your time and telling us more about ultra running and giving us like basically a glimpse into this completely crazy, insane world for us. Which apparently is bigger than I was aware of. If people would like to see more of your races, you do document them on Instagram, like we all do with our normal life. And you have like a special running account, which is at no.limits.ultrarunner. And so like I'm following it already and I'm very curious to see the Madeiras pictures and of course, like talk to you after the race and hear how it was.
Yeah. And you guys.
It was good to have you. One question that we used to ask our guests is what is one of the topics that you think we should talk about on the podcast or a specific person that we could ask to be a guest here to talk about something? Do you have something in mind? You don't have to say anything.
Someone participate the Barclay Marathon.
That would be good.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we can hear more about that.
Someone from inside.
Well, maybe from the organization. that would be even also cool. Like hearing about the process, how they come up with it, how they are planning it, how they are selecting runners.
They are probably crazy people.
I think. Yeah.
That would be an interesting talk.
That would be super interesting.
All right, Vasilis, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll catch you guys around. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.